When my dad asked me to preach about friends, I was happy. I'm like, man, I got a lot of friends, man. I got so many friends, man, this should be easy. And so I was like, man, I was like, God, you know what? I tried to get deep on y'all, man. I started to speak in tongues in my hotel. I started to pray. I was like, God, give me a deeper revelation of your word concerning friendship. And I'm talking about, I searched the whole Bible. And I was like, man, you know, friendship isn't really that deep. It can go deep, but as far as defining it, the Bible, for the most part, and I mean, I went in, I found the Hebrew, I found the Greek and all. So the Hebrew root word in the most commonly used term in the Bible, it's rea and oheb. Rea means friend and oheb means one who loves. That's how the Bible defines it, the most commonly used term. But for the most part, friendship, biblically, it can be categorized in three components. It's friendships by association, loyalty, and affection. And there's different levels to friendship. Like some friendships, they're by association only. Those are people that you kind of go to work with. You may not necessarily like them, but if you saw them in the street, broke down on the side of the road, you would help them out. You know, or you have something in common just by association. Like, for instance, there's a guy in my neighborhood, an older gentleman. He saw my Camaro out there, and he stopped one day. He was like, man, I had a 1979 Camaro. I remember when I first got it, young man. And I said, what's your name? My name's Tom. So every time I see Tom and his wife, they always stop. And his wife's like, I love that hot rod, young man. And they, I don't know what they do for a living, but I know they only live here for the winter. So whatever they do, I think they live in like New York. They have a condominium in our neighborhood. They only live there for 3 months. So I'm like, brother, help me out. No, I'm just but that's association. Like, I know at Bold City where Josh and Demetrius worked, they had some employees there. And who in here loves everybody that works at their job? You just love them so much. And you just wake up and you're like, I can't wait to see every person that's at my job. Nobody. But you're still friendly to those people by association. Because you don't want to. Who in there? Barely. Just barely. But you're friends with those people by association. And then there's friendships that are by association, plus they have loyalty. Because you're not loyal to anybody that you're not somewhat associated to, for the most part, in a friendship capacity. So you'll have somebody that you might have met at your job. Like, I remember when I first met Josh. I met Josh one day. Like, me and Josh, we ran into each other. It was at an ENCM meeting. And I don't even remember. I came in there. Did I sit next to you? I sat next to Josh, and we were just cracking jokes the whole time. And then I was like, man, what's your name? He's like, oh, I'm Josh, bro. I was like, dang, bro, it's pretty tight. So he was like, man, you should hang out with us on Saturday. Was it Friday? Yeah, Josh was like, you should hang out, but we ain't had class on Friday. It might have been. I don't remember. But we hung out that next day, and I don't know why, but Josh was loyal to me, and I was loyal to Josh immediately. Can I tell the truth and make the devil mad real quick? Now, this 2007 reason, now, it's a different day. We were playing volleyball with Josh's friends, and one of Josh's friends that's getting married tomorrow. We were playing volleyball, and he served the ball. The ball hit me in the back of the head. Bam! I mean, real hard. And I was like, I turned around, and he was like, hey, hand me the ball. So I was just like, okay. So I walked in the house, and I went to Josh because, you know, it was like three other people there that I didn't know. I walked into Josh, and I said, hey, Josh, man, I'm about to swing on your boy. That's what I said back in 2000. I said, he just slammed the ball in the back of my head. What type of people do you have me around, man? And Josh was like, oh, no, man. This, nah, bro, that had to be a mistake. This man has the most integrity out of anybody that I know. Like, it must be a mistake. See, me and my foolish self, I met Josh yesterday. That was Josh's best friend I was about to fight. Josh could have attacked me. But we were loyal to each other even from day one. So that's an association. You might have a friend that you might respect on the job over time, kind of like you and my dad. Like, you've seen each other, you're like, man, this brother comes to work on time. This is a great person. And so because of the association, you're loyal to a person. And then the third type is affection. And that's the deepest element of friendship. That's where you are associated to somebody. You are loyal to that person, but then there's an affection that's there. They actually get a piece of what people don't get a chance to see. They get a piece of your heart. They get a chance to know you at your core. They know you for real. Those are your A1 since day ones. Amen. Those are your riders. And often in life, those are people that are valuable that we can only count on one hand. Now, you know, biblically, as I was looking through the Bible, I was like, man, there were friends to the king, and they acted as advisors, as loyal people who acted as advisors, loyal people that always told the king the truth, no matter if he wanted to hear it. And a lot of those people were the mouthpieces of God, the prophets. Like, they were friends to the king because the king represented what God's culture on the earth. So they told him the truth, even when the king didn't want to hear it. How many of us have that one friend that always tells us the truth? And we get mad at him, but it don't matter. Amen. Come on, how many of us have a couple friends like that? Amen. How many of us wanted to fight them ever? Come on now. I know I ain't the only one up in this place. Amen. But I want to talk to you about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it's in Proverbs 18 and 24. This isn't the scripture that will be coming from today. But it talks about, in Proverbs 18, 24, this is the NIV version. It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I want to talk to you today about one of the greatest friendships that I ever saw in the Bible outside of Jesus, outside of God being a friend to us. It was between two men. It was David and Jonathan. Like, Jonathan was associated to David because they were on the same team. David was a ruddy youth that killed the giant, and God anointed him to be king. Jonathan's own father was supposed to be king. But Jonathan saw something in David because he was associated to him that made him loyal to David and also made him affectionate towards David. Jonathan was the heir to the throne, and he gave up a kingdom for his friend. He gave up his birthright. He gave up what logically belonged to him for his friend. And I challenge every believer, every Christian in here today, who would give up a kingdom for their friend? Who would sacrifice who they are for a friend? And as I was reading this scripture, I was so convicted because I was just like, I was seeing how I utilized my friends. And I was seeing how I was utilized within our friendship. And I had to be honest with myself. And anybody who agree with me, now is not the time to say amen, because I will fight you. But I realized that the function of what God can do in our friendship has been hindered by my inability to shut up sometimes. My inability to not give advice every turn. My inability to not be serious when I need to be serious. My inability to go out into the field with my friends. Because the friends that I have that surround me are not just mere men. We're not just here for association. We are associated to one another. We're loyal and we're affectionate towards one another. We're here because we came here to do a mission for for the glory of God. So I want you to think about your friends. Think about the people in your circle, and don't look at them for who they are, but look at them for who God has anointed them to be. That's what Jonathan did to David. And he says, and see, Jonathan didn't just say, dang, man, I'm hanging with David. Man, David real cool, man. You know what, David, let's go just kick the breeze. Let's just go throw whatever they did back then, because they ain't had no TV or no Xbox or nothing. Let's skip rocks or let's throw javelins and see how far they can go. Let us throw this stick and follow it. Let us lace up our sandals and let thou kids follow us throughout the village, saying, what areth those it? Amen. Jonathan decided to spend time with David, talking about David's call on his life. Amen. So the text we're going to go to the scriptures, please. We're going to 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. If you have your Bibles, please read along. If you don't have your Bibles, matter of fact, just look at the screen. Put your phones down. You're all right. Unless you want to take some notes or something. But and check this out. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. You read? From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Okay, let me tell you something. And this is how significant this was. Amen. And I'm looking for some friends like this. He took off his robe. He took off his clothes. He took off his sword. Back then, let me tell you how important a sword was. A sword was how you lived or how you died. Now, this was the king's son. That wasn't a regular sword that he had. It wasn't just like a sword that you just pick up from that the rest of the soldiers had. This was probably like a gift given to him by his father. This was something that probably had rubies, diamonds. It probably was one of the finest, the second finest sword within the entire nation. He gave it to David. This robe that he had on, it was a robe fit for a future king. He took it off and he put it on David. And when he did that, that was a sign of saying, I love you as myself. Amen. I love you as myself. But don't be coming up to me after church asking for my Camaro, because you ain't going to get it. Amen. Don't even ask me. I might share something else with you. You can't get my Camaro or my PlayStation 4. But other than that, I love you as myself. Amen. But that's what this said. But it says before he did these things, he made a covenant with David first. Think about who God is calling your friends to be. Make a covenant with them to ensure that you will be a part of the process of getting them to the calling of God on your life. Amen. And let's give it up for D again, man. He over here doing the sound. He on the cooking ministry. He on the breakdancing ministry. Come on, someone. Let's go to the next scripture. Now we're going to fast forward to Samuel 20. And we're going to fast forward to Samuel 20, 14 through 17. Matter of fact, this is what's so crazy, right? I remember it was this kid. His name was Derek Kasdorf. I'll never forget this. He comes up to me one day while I'm in Tallahassee. And, you know, I didn't know him at all, you know, so this was kind of weird. Like, I kind of saw him around, but I didn't really know him. And then, you know, he was like a redneck kind of guy, you know, and I was a brother. So I didn't really know him. You know, he used to chew tobacco, and then he hung around another guy. And we never really talked or anything like that. And one day he comes up to me. He was like, "Hey, man, I had a dream about you, bro." I was like, "What's that?" He was like, "Man, you were like a fireball. And I was behind you, and I was just pushing you. And when I was pushing you, everyone was catching on fire." And I was like, "Oh, okay, what's that mean?" He was like, "Dude, I'm going to push you like there's no tomorrow, bro." And this brother pushed me like there was no tomorrow. I remember I said, "Man, I used to do street evangelism when I was in Florida. It's one of the things I love. And me and my boys used to go do it all the time." He was like, "Well, bro, that's where I'm pushing you." And this dude would challenge me to hit these streets every night. And I would go hit the streets every night because this brother was behind me pushing me to light people on fire. And Josh used to come with me. I mean, man, we were so radical back then. And I actually would recommend this now. I wish somebody had the boldness to do it. We were driving, and I mean, this is in Tallahassee, so we on whatever. What's that main road with all the clubs? We on Tennessee Street, all the clubs. Right across from Florida State, and we're driving in the car, we're witnessing the people, and pretty much whenever we see a crowd of people, we just get out the car and we go in and be like, "Hey, bro, I just want to talk to you about the Lord, man. Just want to tell you God loves you, blah, 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 whatever, whoop, whoop, bam." Sometimes people don't receive us, sometimes they do. And this one particular night, I'm driving, and Derek grabs my chest while I'm driving. And he's like, "They're jumping them, bro." Like, "They jumping them." So I slam on brakes. Derek flies out the car 100 miles an hour. Without me thinking, I park my car in the middle of the street and I fly out the car 100 miles an hour after Derek. And I'm like, "Dang, we came out here to witness. Now we about to get into it." And Derek was like, "Hey, you're not going to jump him tonight, man." That's what my boy said to this guy. And so I ran up, and they turned like they was about to swing on us. Then Big Josh came through them boys. Then they wanted to talk. Amen. You remember that? When Josh pulled up, they was like, "Hey, we're not." He disrespected us first. It's like now they wanna communicate, and that's why you keep somebody big in your ministry. Amen. Then people want to talk. Amen. 5'6" reason. Back then I was probably like 130, but stop. I was probably about 145, all muscle though. I was solid, brother. I was solid, wasn't I, baby? See that? And Carrie wouldn't lie for me just because she my wife. If I did a charge and she had to testify on the stand, she wouldn't lie for me, would you? "He was with me all night, Your Honor." "Are you sure? Because we got him on video." "I'm sure." That was Tunkle Reese. That wasn't Uncle Reese. That was Tunkle Reese. His arch nemesis. What was Darkwing Duck's arch nemesis? Mega Duck. Look just like him. Mega Duck. What was another arch enemy that looked like the same exact person? It's like, dang, y'all couldn't create another character? Yeah, McGee. Scottish guy, two Scottish guys, second richest guy. Same voice. Uncle Scrooge was like, "Lottie." Then what's the other? He's like, "Scrooge McDuck." I'm like, same voice. Not even wasting no money. But, And I remember, man, we broke that fight up. And now you would think the brother who was getting beat up would have been like, "Thank you. I really appreciate you stopping these three people from beating me to death." I mean, there's blood everywhere. They had this guy in a full, I'd never seen nobody in a fight in a full Nelson. Like, they had him in a full Nelson, and one dude was just pounding him, bow, bow. Other dude was choking him. And we ran over there, we said, "Hey, stop." And then, so I went to the guy, I was like, "Hey, bro, you know, know, we saved you tonight because we love God. That brother said, can I get my hat, bro? So I picked up his hat and gave it to him. He walked off. Josh, old thuggish, ruggish bone back then. His friend, the guy had a friend there that was watching. And Josh looked at the guy, the guy's friend, because he was like, man, come on, let's go. And Josh was like, you didn't even jump in to help your friend. That boy got so scared. I was scared for him. I thought Josh was finna pound him on the head. And I'll never forget those three guys who were jumping the guy end up hearing about the gospel that night. So we end up witnessing to three guys that were jumping somebody, and they stopped to hear the gospel. And I was like, that's the people who need the gospel. They need the gospel a little bit more than the guy that got beat up. Let's keep them saved. Nah, let me stop. But that's what friendship can do. That's what friendship can do. Friendship, only if you understand the calling of God's life on your friend and don't allow the enemy to diminish their calling in your eyes. Because it's so easy to look at your friend and be like, man, he ain't trying to do that, man. We'll just chill, man. You know what? We'll just be friends. We don't need to work together. We don't need to do ministry together. We'll just be friends. It's easier like that. It's just easier to just play PlayStation for 12 hours with you guys than it is to have a real conversation. Because if we have a real conversation, y'all going to tell me something that I know about myself that I really don't like. Y'all are going to see me not walking in my calling, and y'all going to be like, hey, Reese, why you ain't hitting them streets, man? Reese, why you ain't got no disciples? Why you ain't? And that's hard to open yourself up to that. And it's hard to be that person that tells people what they don't want to hear. But as Christian friends, we have to do it. To love someone as yourself. To take your robe off and put it on someone else's back. To give someone the most precious thing that you have and bestow it on your friend. That is the calling of friendship in Christianity. That's what the calling of friendship is. We are associates because of because we fellowship with one another. We are loyal because we have the same brother. We're all a part of the same family. But we are affectionate. I see so many families where they're family. They love each other. They're loyal. They are associated by blood. But there's no affection there. I see it all the time, man. I see it all the time, especially... I'll never forget, man, first time I met the Santillas, first time I met your parents, and Josh's parents was coming in town, and I was like, well, let's put them in a hotel. Josh was like, dang, they ain't going to want to stay in no hotel. I ain't even understand this concept. I didn't get it. And then when I hung with Jimmy, it's Haitian culture. Like, when the parents come to visit you, they come to your house. I don't care if it's nine people. They all come into your crib. They all want to stay together. They all want to be in the same place, singing songs, loving on each other, so affectionate, touching each other. And it's like, you know, American culture, like, bro, we don't really touch each other like that. Like, you know, we don't be hugging and braiding each other's hair and, you know, mom massaging shoulder. Like, we don't do that, but that affection, it meant so much to me the first time I saw it. It blew my mind. And I told my parents, I was like, hey, I never forget, I called my parents. I was like, hey, when y'all come to Tallahassee, I want y'all to stay with us. They was... Mom talking about, you got roommates, right? I was like, yes, ma'am. She was like, nah, we'll just get a hotel, man. I was like, nah, we can cook together, we can eat together, we can. My mom talking about, nah, we'll go out to eat, trust me. Like, I tried to force it on my family. I done got in an argument with my family about it. I'm talking about this 2007 reason now. I was like, God can't bless our family because we ain't close. I done put that thing on God and all, man. Telling them we ain't going to be blessed as a family until we can all stay in the same house, out of town. Wilding, stupid for the gospel. Doing too much for Jesus. But I see families where there's loyalty, there's association. And I see friendships that are dry like that. And I'm like, why would you have a friendship without affection? What are you trying to protect? What are you holding on to? Like, what are you trying to protect in you? And what makes it so bad? We're trying to protect ourselves, but all we're doing is we're diminishing the reason why we're friends in the first place by trying to protect ourselves. Nobody wants to extend the limb. Nobody wants to extend the limb and let somebody put weight because they think it'll break. It won't break. It won't break, I promise you. All right, let's fast forward to Samuel 20. Okay, D already got it up. And it says, but show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him because he loved him as he loved himself. We have to understand what Jonathan just said. Let's go back to 14. Now Jonathan knew and he believed that David would overthrow his father. And he knew that David, this castle that I'm living in, he loved David so much. He's like, hey, bro, I know my family beefing with you, and we actually living in your house, bro. And everything we have is going to be yours. Make a covenant with me that you will remember my family. It would have been so much easier for Jonathan to just kill David, and then he wouldn't have made no covenant with him. He says, but show me unfailing kindness like that of the Lord as long as I live so that I may not be killed. Go ahead. And he says, and do not ever cut off your kindness from my family. Not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So basically he said, David, I believe in you, man. Every one of your enemies, God is going to cut off from the face of this earth. Can't nobody stop you. Because God ordained you to be the king. But do me this one favor, man. Don't forget me. Don't forget my family. I'm going to ride with you, Doc. He's talking about his own dad. He's talking about his legacy, his birthright. And that's what affectionate friendship is. The Bible goes on to talk about Jesus Christ. It says, what greater love hath a friend than one who laid down his life for a friend? What greater love can be shown than a friend laying down his life for another? And that is the greatest love that someone could show. But I would challenge us today, biblically, to say, how can I be a friend to these people? What are these people called by God to do? And how can I orchestrate that? How can I encourage that? What is stopping me? What is putting a divide in between our friendship? In between us actually encouraging each other in the Lord? What is stopping me from loving you like I love myself? What's stopping me from doing that? And that's my prayer today, that God would reveal those things to you. You would eliminate those things and you would do the things that God called you to do. Last night, I saw this in action. We all hung together because Oh, and it's Josh and Judah's birthday today. Come on, clap it up for them. Last night, we all hung out at the crib, man, till about, what, 4 or 5 in the morning? Yeah, 4:30. And we had a discussion last night. And while we was talking, Holy Spirit said, Reese, you done talked enough. Like, man, I got something else to say, though. Holy Spirit said, you done talked enough. And I sat on the counter, and I had my coffee. And it was so hard to not talk, I had to just drink the coffee. That hard for me. I'm like, what's going on? And as I began to hear the things that were coming out of their mouths, blessing my life, pouring into me, hearing about Socrates, hearing about racism, hearing about black culture, hearing about what these men need, I was like, man, whoa, man, this is really blessing my life. What's holding you back? What is putting a divide from loving your friend like you love yourself? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and your grace. For the covenant that you have made between us when your son died on the cross for us. He was our greatest friend. Lord God, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love, God, that you have always bestowed upon us, God. I pray right now, Lord God, that we would be not only associated, not only loyal, but we would be affectionate towards the people that you've put in our life, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we would be those loyal friends. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, Lord God, someone who has a disloyal friend will come to ruins, Lord God, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I pray that we would be on the other spectrum of that verse. We would be that friend that sticks closer than a brother, Lord God. I pray that we would see the anointing of God over the lives of our friends, and we would begin to push them towards their anointing, Lord God, and not pull them away from their destiny, Lord God. I thank you for your mercy, your goodness, and grace that you bestow on us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is what I want us to do. I want you to think of someone outside of yourself that you know has a calling of God on their life. You know has a calling of God on your life. You know has a call of God on their life. And you see that they need help. If you got somebody that you see in your mind that you just know for a fact, as soon as I was speaking, God put their face in your head, I want you to come up to the front right now. Come up to the front and we're going to just begin to pray for those people. Come on up to the front. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. It could be a sister, a brother, a colleague. Amen. Somebody that has a calling of God on their life. And you just believe in by faith. And as I pray with you, I'm going to believe by faith with you for that person. You don't have to let me know their name. You have to tell me who they are, anything like that. But I'm just going to believe God with you. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you today, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for these people, Lord God, who have come up, Lord God, who are obedient, Lord God, to the word of God. I thank you for them, Lord God. I thank you for what it cost them, Lord God, to do that, Lord God. I thank you for the person that they're believing you for, Lord God. I thank you for the person, Lord God, that they are in agreement with by your will, Lord God. I pray that whoever they are thinking about, that individual, Lord God, would see you clearly, would know you clearly, Lord God, that you would convict their hearts to be who you called them to be at such a great level that they would have no peace unless they are walking in complete obedience to your word, Lord God. I pray that they would be who you called them to be, that there would be no pain, there would be no frustration, Lord God, that they would have nothing else to prove, Lord God. They would have nothing else to prove, Lord God, because they would know that you approve who they are, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Free them, Lord God, from the bondage that the enemy has over their lives right now, Lord God. Release your spirit in their life in the name of Jesus. Release your anointing over their life, Lord God. Open doors that only you can open. Close doors that only you can close, Lord God. I pray that their feet would only travel in the direction of your calling over their life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saved my soul. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saved my soul. One who makes us whole. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saved my soul. One that makes us whole. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saved my soul. One who makes us whole. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saves my soul. One that makes us whole. Last time. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. One who saved my soul. One that makes us whole. Hallelujah, Jesus. We lift you up in this place, Lord God. We lift you up in their life, Lord God. And we pray for the strength, Lord God, to do what we're too tired to do what we're too embarrassed to do, to endure what we feel we can't endure for their sake of knowing you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. When we're tired and we don't want to go, give us energy. When we're stingy, we don't want to give us compassion, Lord God. When we don't have anything else to love, Lord God, give us a heart that will overflow with your love concerning these individuals, Lord God, who you have called to be our friends, Lord God. Let us sacrifice all things. Let us abandon all things that we consider comfort for their sake. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our pastors, Lord God. We lift them up, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We accept the burden, Lord God. Lord God, for the things that might keep them away from preaching this gospel and keeping these doors open, give us the faith to dig in and not let go. Give us the faith, Lord God, to find the people that are supposed to be here. Let us talk to those people. Give us the boldness to share your love. Give us the boldness to share your purpose, to share your vision, to share your gospel. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And in unison we say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. The one who saved my soul. The one that made me whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy. Worthy. The one who saved my soul. One who, the one that made me whole, one that made me whole. Sing hallelujah, worthy is the one, the one. Hallelujah, sing, worthy is the Lamb. Woo! One who. The one, say hallelujah, worthy is the one, watch this y'all, hallelujah, say hallelujah, say hallelujah, say It's the highest praise. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Hallelujah. Worship. Hallelujah. Last time. Hallelujah. 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 Worthy is the one. The one. Hallelujah. Together we say. Worthy. The one that made us whole. Dear Heavenly Father, under the sound of my voice, Lord God, we thank you for the word of God, Lord God, that's come forth. We ask that you would protect it, Lord God, because the enemy's coming for the word that was just preached. The enemy's coming for what was just imparted to you. And I just pray boldness right now, Lord God, over the lives of those you love. Boldness, Lord God, of clear mind, Lord God, that would see, Lord God, everything in front, Lord God, perfectly, Lord God, every obstacle, everything that may be troublesome, Lord God, I pray that you would give eyes to see the snare 10 miles up the road, Lord God, before we fall in it, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Boldness. Boldness in the name of God. Boldness. Love, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Boldness in the name of God, Lord God. Boldness in the name of God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Does anybody have something that God is putting on their heart to share about friendship? It could be how you're going to be a better friend. It could just be a declaration. This is a time where we declare what God has done.